I'm Megan Kamrick with news about women from around the world. This week in women's history, on March 17, 1910, Campfire Girls is established as the first interracial, non-sectarian American organization for girls. Veteran U.S. Representative Louise Slaughter, a Kentucky blacksmith's daughter who went on to chair one of Congress's most important committees, died yesterday at a Washington hospital. She was being treated after falling in her home, her top aide said. Slaughter was 88. The Associated Press reported the New York Democrat was the first woman to chair the House Rules Committee and was her party's top member on the panel when she died. Slaughter was serving her 16th term in the House. Her 31 years in the chamber made her its third longest-serving woman. She chaired the Rules Committee from 2007 through 2010. The Huffington Post reports she was a champion for women's rights and reproductive rights. Canada made history on International Women's Day by honoring a civil rights leader on its $10 bill. CNN reported Viola Desmond is the first non-royal woman and the first black person to appear on Canadian currency. She sparked a civil rights movement when in 1946 she refused to sit in a segregated area of a movie theater. She was jailed and charged with tax evasion after refusing to pay the extra cent to sit on the ground floor rather than the balcony. Her legal appeals failed, but advocates used the case to push for desegregation of all workplaces. Desmond died in 1965 at the age of 50, but her sister, Wanda Robson, was on hand for the unveiling of the bill's design by the Bank of Canada. In Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, the murder of an activist has spurred anger and protests in the streets. NPR reported Marielle Franco was murdered Thursday when men opened fire on her car. Franco was a city councilwoman and outspoken critic of the military police tactics in the giant shanty towns known as favelas. AP reported Franco, who was black, was returning from an event to empower young black women. Her death touched a nerve in Latin America's largest nation, where more than 50% identify as black or mixed race, yet most politicians are white men. Some called for disbanding the military police. Franco's death comes just a month after President Michel Temer placed the military in charge of security in the state of Rio de Janeiro, nominally to curb violence. Franco criticized the move and said it would lead to more violence and human rights violations. On International Women's Day, the New York Times rolled out a new initiative called Overlooked to make up for the lack of women in its obituaries. The Times will add to this section each week, and readers can also nominate candidates for future Overlooked obits. Among the first to be recognized in the new feature were legendary journalist Ida B. Wells, artist Diane Arbus, poet Sylvia Plath, and Henrietta Lacks, whose cancer cells were used without her permission and led to a medical revolution. A list of the top self-made women billionaires is dominated by China. The BBC reported the list by publisher Harun shows the richest woman on the list is Zhao Qunfei, with nearly $10 billion. She founded a firm that makes glass that covers laptops and smartphones. Forbes ranked her as the 16th richest woman overall in the world, and unlike others ahead of her on that list, she did not come from inherited wealth, but a poor family in rural China. Two female real estate developers in China took second and third place on the list. Outside of China, the richest self-made woman is American Diane Hendricks. She co-founded ABC Supply in Wisconsin, which distributes roofing and windows. An actress in the adult film industry who said she had sex with Donald Trump before he became president has been threatened with physical harm, her attorney said this week. The Associated Press reported Stormy Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, has been seeking to invalidate a non-disclosure agreement she signed days before the 2016 presidential election in order to discuss their relationship. Lawyers for Trump, in a filing late yesterday, claimed Clifford could owe more than $20 million in damages for violating the agreement. Clifford's attorney told the Associated Press his client had been physically threatened, but he didn't provide details. In Iran, a woman who publicly removed her headscarf to protest the law mandating hijabs has been sentenced to 2 years in prison. The BBC reported the woman was found guilty of encouraging moral corruption. She was not named, but a prosecutor said 21 months of her sentence were suspended since she needs medical treatment. There have been dozens of similar arrests recently in Iran. In December, videos of a woman who stood on a box without a head covering and waved a white scarf went viral on social media and inspired other protests. In Mexico, an Instagram art project is dedicated to raising awareness of femicide in the country. Global Post reported two artists created the project, No Estamos Todas, or We Are Not All Here, after reading a Facebook post last fall by an activist that listed more than 1,000 women killed in the first 9 months of 2017 in Mexico. The two organizers are anonymous to keep the focus on the victims and also avoid the threats and harassment women in Mexico face when they speak out against femicide. More than 2,500 women were murdered in Mexico in 2017, and of those, about 670 were investigated as femicides, meaning women killed because of their gender. But a number of activists say those numbers are misleading, and the real count is much higher. No Estamos Todas now works with more than 130 artists in Latin America, the U.S., and even China. It's part of a growing movement against gender-based violence in Latin America, according to the Global Post. One artist from Colombia said femicide is a big problem in her country. And during his visit to Peru, Pope Francis denounced femicide and gender-based crimes and called for a change in laws and the cultural mindset. And in New Mexico news, the embattled chairman of the Democratic Party of New Mexico resigned this week. The Associated Press reported Richard Ellenberg announced his resignation following a state party convention where he was accused of questioning the credibility of sexual misconduct allegations against John Hendry, the business agent for the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees Local 480, the main union for film crews. Ellenberg also had faced criticism for his response to a Democratic Party of New Mexico vice chair's claim that she was a target of unwanted sexual advances by a party official. And a woman who says she barely avoided a sexual assault years ago on a film set here is pushing for changes she says will make film and TV productions safer. The Albuquerque Journal reported Laura Dale, who is a Foley artist and part of Women in Film's New Mexico chapter, wants mandatory sexual harassment training for all film and TV sets and other measures like satellite phones for remote locations. And a quick note, we interviewed Dale earlier this year on Women's Focus about her own story. You can find that at KUNM.org. For our Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick. And if you appreciate our dedication on this program to bringing you the voices of women and their stories, which still don't get enough traction in media, won't you please call now? KUNM really needs your support.